And so as I've been pondering the things happening in our times, some things that are spoken about in all the wrong ways, but are on lots of people's minds, I felt pressed by the Spirit to reflect with you all on what God might be saying about these things. The things happening in our nation are bringing up a lot of pain for a lot of people. And one thing that we know for sure about our God is that God cares deeply about our pain. And so I wondered and I wanted to reflect with you all about what God is indeed saying about these things. Because we know God is not silent about the pain that God's children feel. And so I sought to seek a word from the Lord on the times in which we are living. So if you would turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 22. Please attend with me to the word of God, our sacred scripture. Some time passed, David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And David's son Amnon fell in love with her. Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of David's brother Shimeah. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. He said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Lie down on your, Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me something to eat and prepare the food in my sight so that I may see it and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight so that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying down. She took dough and she kneaded it, made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. Then she took the pan and set them out before him. But he refused to eat. Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber. Bring the food into the chamber so that I may eat from your hand." So Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near to eat, he took hold of her. And he said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me. For such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do anything so vile." "As for me," she said, "where could I carry my shame? As for you, you would be as one of the scoundrels in Israel. Now, therefore, I beg you, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he forced her and he lay with her. Then Amnon was seized with a very great loathing for her. Indeed, his loathing was even greater than the lust he had felt for her. Amnon said to her, "Get out." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Now Tamar was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for this is how the virgin daughters of the king were clothed in earlier times. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. But Tamar put ashes on her head. She tore the long robe that she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and she went away crying aloud as she went. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you?" "Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar remained a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he became very angry, but he would not punish his son Amnon, because he loved him for he was his firstborn. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had raped his sister Tamar. If you could return with me briefly to verse 20. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." Please pray with me. God, we come to you in the midst of times that baffle us, asking indeed, God, what is it that you would say about these things? We come to you, some of us, with pain, with stories, with pasts. God, we come to you looking around and seeing the dismay of the things that we see around us, knowing that this world, God, is not the way you had in mind, that we're not done yet with building your kingdom, that this, what we see around us, is not the way you want people to be treated. And God, we know that you, you, God, have healing for the wounds of our nation, healing for the wounds of our spirit, healing for our very lives. We need you in this moment, God. We need you to make sense, not just of what we see outside, but of what we see when we look inside ourselves. We know, God, that you are not silent. You are not a silent God. No, you have spoken and you continue to speak, and you will not sit by while things go in a certain direction that you do not approve of, God. God, we've seen you do it before. We've seen you speak, act, and move. We're asking for you to speak in this moment. God, speak through me in whatever way you need. Get me out of the way so that you can speak your word, because we so desperately need to hear from you. God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts together, would be acceptable to you, because you are the one that matters. We love you and we praise you, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus that together we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be quiet for now, my sister. Do not take this to heart. I wrestled with lifting up such a disturbing passage in your hearing this morning. I wrestled with bringing this before you, but as I considered and I prayed about it, I realized that it is no more disturbing than what we have been hearing on the news for the past 2 weeks. So to the young people in the room, I do apologize, because it is you should not have to hear about these things, but I wanted you to hear about it, young people. I wanted us to hear about it, not just what Mitch McConnell and what Rachel Maddow think about these things. I wanted to hear what God has to say about them. I wanted us to realize that God does speak about these things to us. People don't often even know that passages like these, and this is not the only one, people often don't even know that passages like these exist in our scripture, because we are not equipped to deal with them. They make us uncomfortable, and so we don't talk about them, but here they are in our Holy Bible. Why are they in our Bible? Why are they lifted up before us? It's not for sensationalism, the way that our media seems to peddle these stories, these disturbing stories. It's not for entertainment or to create a rating. No, it's not for those reasons. That's not why it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because God has strong opinions about these things. Because God cares about what happens behind closed doors. God cares about what happens in the corridors of our lives that we feel are just better closed up. No, God cares about these things. God cares about Tamar's story. It's imperative that we tell Tamar's story, because she and her story matter deeply to God. Tamar's story is a difficult one. She lived a difficult day, to say the least. This day in her life was harrowing. When she ends up in a room with someone who considers her disposable. In the time that she lived, of course, women were considered to be less than, they were considered to be property, and they were considered to exist for the purposes of those who were stronger. She ends up in this room of someone who considers her disposable, who considers her there for his purposes. But it's not only the trauma of the awful moment that she lived, it's also the ripple effects that it had in her life. The moment itself is horrendous. Reading the scripture, we know it's already kind of troubling just to read the moment itself. Amnon was Tamar's half-brother. Tamar is beautiful, as we hear, and Amnon decides he must have her. Even though this kind of a relationship is, of course, against the rules of Scripture, he decides, no, there should be nothing in his way. He doesn't consider her opinion. He doesn't consider her integrity as a person. He doesn't consider how it would feel to be in her shoes. No, all he thinks about is her there existing for his gratification. His friend Jonadab convinces him that there's no reason he shouldn't have what he thinks he wants. There's no bonds of right and wrong that should tug on his heart. There are no ethics that should weigh on his spirit as he considers this person before him. No, Tamar is there to be used and nothing more. Amnon knows that Tamar will not willingly consent to a relationship with him since they are brother and sister. It's prohibited by law. He knows that she won't say yes, so he tricks her and he tells her that he's sick, so she'll come into his bedroom to take care of him. Once she's in his room and no one is close enough to hear her call out for help, she protests and she protests, but he does the unthinkable and he forces her. It's a horrible moment. It's a trauma in and of itself. We see here the insanity of an abusive mind in this story that reminds us of things we see around. We see the insanity of an abusive situation. He thinks he loves her, and then after he's done the unthinkable, he decides he's disgusted with her. We see the craziness of abuse to play out 3,000 years ago, and he's disgusted with her, so he throws her out of the room and he locks the door behind her. This moment, though painful to remember, part of our sacred scriptures. It was a trauma in and of itself, a trauma Tamar would never forget. The betrayal, the utter disregard for her humanity, the violation, it's all so much. She's distraught. She runs away crying. She puts ashes on her head. She's inconsolable. But the horror of the assault is not the end of Tamar's story. The horror of what happened that day is not, the book does not close with that. We know that when assaults happen, it's not just the day of, it's not just when the wounds heal that the chapter closes. No, there are consequences in her life. There are ripple effects of this violation. Ancient Israel was a rough time for women, and the rules were not in their favor, as many of you Bible scholars know. Ancient Israel was not a great time. It's difficult in many ways to be a woman. And if a woman was found to have been with a man, even if it wasn't her choice, before she was married, she was considered to have violated the property rights of her husband, and she could be stoned. Talk about the consequences that a trauma can have in your life. Now, even if she was not stoned, even if they realized there was evidence that she was forced and it was not her, it was not consensual, even if it wasn't her fault and they knew it, even though she wouldn't be stoned, she was prohibited from marrying anyone else. Her dreams would change. Her life would not be the same. There would be consequences because of this trauma. Tamar knew this. Tamar knew about these consequences. She knew that the effects on her life would be severe. She knew she could be stoned, and that even if they believed her and that it wasn't her fault, she knew she wouldn't be able to marry anyone else. She wouldn't be able to live the life she planned to live. She knew it would have a ripple effects in her life. This is why she says to him, in a passage that's baffling to us, this is why she says to him, "This wrong you have done to me in sending me away is worse than the first wrong." Because what he could have done according to the rules of the land at the time was at least to have married her and provide for her physical needs, because no one else would. And without that, she would have been condemned to poverty. I told you that the rules were rough for women at that time. Still is. Amen. Amen. So this is why she says, "The wrong in sending me away is greater than the other one that you did. At least you could take care of me, because now I will have nothing, have no one." And he refuses because of the insanity of an abusive mind. And she knew that this would change the course of her life forever, that not only would it have physical impacts on her, but there would be ripple effects in her life. There's still one more ripple effect. This one doesn't make a lot of logical sense. The human psyche is not always logical. There's still one consequence in her life that is heavy and it's powerful. It doesn't make sense, but we're not even all that surprised to see this ripple effect in the story, because we see it today as a ripple effect of the assaults that take place. The consequence I'm referring to is shame. Instead of the shame being on Amnon, I don't know if you saw it in our text. Instead of the shame being on the perpetrator for what he did wrong, it's Tamar who feels the shame. It's Tamar who has to bear the consequence, the emotional weight of what took place. It's Tamar who says, as for me, where could I carry my shame? In the lunacy of a situation of abuse, we see that the wrong is called right and up is down and things are all mixed up and the survivor is the one to bear the burden of shame instead of the one who did something wrong. Even though Tamar had done something wrong, she's the one who carries the shame, not Amnon. You know, ashes is what they did in ancient Israel to show repentance. Ashes is what they would do. You remember in Job, Job said, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. In the lunacy of an abusive situation, we see that Amnon is not the one to despise himself, even though he's the one who committed the wrong. Tamar is the one who puts the ashes on her head. Where can I carry my shame? Tragically, we see that not that much has changed in 3,000 years. Tragically, lamentably, we see that not that much is different. 3,000 years later, this difficult moment that Tamar lived, these cruel traumas still happen. People still forget that everybody's body is a temple, amen? People still forget that human beings are equal no matter their gender, no matter their color, no matter any other distinguishing factors about them, that God created us all equal. No one is there to be used by another. People still forget, amen? People still forget the worth of a human being that is sitting next to them. We know, we don't even have to look that far. We can look to the news every day and see that things have not changed that much in 3,000 years. Some, sadly, don't even have to look to the news. They can just look to their own friends and family to hear stories of situations like Tamar's. And some, even more tragically, don't even have to look to their family and friends, but can just look back on their own history and say things have not changed that much. Violations like these still take place. In fact, this is what has been so troubling about the news these past few weeks with Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. This is what has been shaking the nation, not so much just what happened, not so much this the overwhelming and the hyperbolic fights between the political parties. Those we're used to. They're disturbing, but we're used to those. Those are not what's so disturbing. What's so troubling about the news these past few weeks and the things that we hear, the testimony we heard last Thursday, what's so troubling is that it reminds so many of us of the pain that has been covered up in our lives. It reminds so many of the story of being a survivor and then being a survivor who is told to be quiet. Of the minimizing, of the brushing aside, of the hearing the story and saying it doesn't count. Oh, the reminding is what's been so troubling. You see the anger, you see the sadness, you see the reopening of old wounds. Don't get confused, don't get it twisted. It's not about a man sitting only on the Supreme Court, though he will have consequences for our nation. It's not about a man that we've never met. It's not about a violation of a woman in 1982. No, it's about the reopening of wounds that have been happening since 3,000 years ago. So troubling, these times, because of the ways that it reminds us of the violations that still take place. And as I reflected on these times that we're living in, I could not help but think about our ancient sister Tamar. This story in the Bible that just the way our stories are minimized and glossed over and not told, this story in the Bible that's not told either. Couldn't help but think about this ancient heroine whose story calls out to me from the pages of Scripture saying, they won't always say what happened, they won't always tell the truth, but God knows what happened to me. And her story that just pulled on my spirit, as I thought about what's happening in our times today, I could not ignore the parallels, the eerie parallels we see. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, who facilitated the attack that he perpetrated on his sister Tamar. Amnon had Jonadab. Christine Blasey's former attacker had Mark Judge. Sitting in the same room, laughing as she was attacked, could have done something, but instead facilitated what happened to her. Amnon decided he was disgusted with Tamar after the attack took place, and he pushed her out and locked the door behind her out of his bedroom. And Christine Blasey Ford's attacker pushed her into the room and locked the door behind her. Things have not changed all that much in 3,000 years. Most of all, we hear in Absalom's words, we hear these words that we still hear today when we consider the reality of abuse and the reality of violations like these. We hear in Absalom's words when he says to Tamar, he says, "Be quiet for now, my sister. Do not take this to heart." How many times have survivors in our situation, in our current reality, been told, "Be quiet for now"? Absalom knows. He cares. But he knows that what happened to her, there will be no recourse for the wrong that was done to her. He knows that it will bear no hope for her to tell anyone. There's no point. So he says, "Just be quiet, for now, my sister. Don't take it to heart." Told to be quiet. Told that there's nothing that can be done. Told that this is not as big a deal as you think. And besides, even if you said something, what's going to happen? Things have not changed that much. But the most disturbing element, the most disturbing parallel we see between Tamar's sacred story and what we see around us is that her story was known to those who could have done something about it. Her story was known to the one who could have made everything different. Her story was available and readily being, it was known to those who could have done something about what had happened. Those who could have made a difference in her situation. But those who knew about it, they failed to care deeply about what happened to Tamar. They didn't take the violation that seriously. They didn't decide to hold the violators accountable. The most striking parallel, the one that breaks my heart that 3,000 years have not changed is that David didn't do anything about what happened to Tamar. Can you imagine how Tamar's pain was compounded? This trauma she lived, the consequences in her life, the shame that she bore, even though it wasn't her shame to bear. Then on top of it, the king. On top of it, the king, the one who could do something. The one who ruled all of Israel, who could have said, this is not going to take place here, who could have said, there will be consequences, who could have said, she will be healed, she will be taken care of. The one who could have done something did not recognize the seriousness of the violation, chose not to hold Amnon accountable, chose not to take her suffering seriously, chose not to value her worth. The one who could have done something chose to do nothing. Just yesterday, the U.S. Senate voted 50-48 to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. The Senate, the ones that we elected, could have done something. They could have done something, not even just to hold him accountable. It's in the past. It wasn't about holding him accountable, but simply to not place him in a position of extreme power. They could have done something. They heard the story. The whole nation heard the story. They knew what had happened. They heard her testimony in a week of survivors protesting, pleading. Tell me my story matters. Tell me this matters to you. Tell me you see my worth. The Senate, the ones who could have done something, they chose not to enforce any consequences for a perpetrator. They chose to minimize and to ignore. For many, yesterday's vote was a lot of salt in a deep wound. Wasn't just about the consequences, the political consequences for our nation. Wasn't just about what was going to take place. No, it was a message from the highest legislators in the land saying, you do not matter. Your stories do not matter. The worth that was violated when this happened to you is not of concern, and these things can continue to happen. Just like Tamar, those who could have done something. Not all survivor stories were ignored by a king. Not all survivor stories were ignored by the Senate, but many survivors know what it's like to be ignored by those who should care the most. I don't know if you saw it in the story, but a lot of times it's those who should care the most that care the least, that can't find the tools to apprehend and to treat as important what has happened to us. It's not, a lot of times it's those who should care the most, who should be there for you, who should see your value, who should value you as a human. It's a lot of times it's those who should care the most that fail the most deeply to do what they should do. David was not only king of Israel. David was not only the legislator that could have done something about the wrong that had taken place. David was not only someone in power. David was Tamar's father. Whew. Many times it's those who should care the most who fail us the most deeply when our worth is violated, when survivors have to keep their stories to themselves. Many times it's the family, the friends, those who should love you who just can't seem to do what they should. Can you imagine how this wounded the soul of this ancient princess? How this wounded the psyche of our sister who is a survivor, that her own father chose the violator over her. Why? Because he was the firstborn. Why? Because she mattered less to him. Why did he decide that what happened to her did not matter? Oh, why did he defy her worth in that way? Sadly, it's a story that is all too common. Those who could do something, or those who should care the most, just can't seem to figure out. Don't seem to see the seriousness of what takes place. Don't seem to understand and to comprehend the heaviness, the weight of these things that happen to precious human beings. A lot of people are confused. But while everybody else seems to be confused about how much situations like Tamar's matter, while David doesn't seem to grasp it, while Jonadab doesn't seem to understand that Tamar is a person, a human being with rights and with integrity as a person, while Amnon can't see her worth, while David doesn't get that this was a big deal and that she is worth something, while all these people seem to be confused about what is important in this situation, about whether these violations matter, about how worthwhile Tamar is, while everybody seems to be confused, God is not confused today. While everybody can't seem to figure out if this matters or not, how to handle it, is she worth it? God is not confused today. God is not confused in Tamar's story. We see that God has spoken clearly about sexual assault in this story, and it comes up in the middle of Tamar's story today. It comes up that through the scriptures, God has been clear about what matters and what's right and what's wrong. On the lips of the prophets, God has been clear about what matters, what's right, who's worth it, and what's wrong. God has been clear about these things, and God is clear in the scriptures today. It is clear from Tamar's story. God says, such a vile thing is not done in Israel. God's opinion on these things is clear. If the Senate is confused, God is clear. If Mitch McConnell is confused, God is clear. If the people at your work are confused and they say things that hurt your feelings because they don't understand how much a person is worth, doesn't matter their gender, God is clear. God says, such a vile thing is not done in Israel. Such a vile thing is not done in the community that I call. No, in the kingdom of God, these things, there's no room for them. God is not confused about the worth of survivors, about the worth of every person in this room, about how serious it is, what took place, what happened to you. God is 100% clear about your worth. God was clear about Tamar's worth. God was clear that she is worth it, that what happened to her matters. Ooh, you will get a lot of messages from confused people who don't understand the integrity of a human person, who don't know that everyone's body is a temple, that we are all worth it. You will hear a lot of messages from confused people, but God is not confused. Such a vile thing is not done in God's Israel. Yesterday, 50 senators decided that what happened to Christine Blasey Ford and what happened to the survivors who were pleading with them all week long to go in a different direction, they decided that it didn't matter quite enough. They repeated this message of Jonadab and of David. What happened to you doesn't matter. They defied the worth of those who have been through these harrowing situations. But I need to let you know today, if in any way this is your story, that the 50 senators were saying to you that your worth didn't matter, because that's what a lot of survivors heard when they heard the vote. If in any way people in your life have told you that what happened to you didn't matter, or that your worth is not worth being protected, if any way this is part of your story, if these 50 senators, y'all heard that? That was a Freudian slip. Bothered you at least a little bit, I need to let you know that even if 50 senators say that it doesn't matter, 50 senators is nothing compared to the one God who says this matters more than anyone can say, who says, I have counted every hair on your head, who says, you are worth to me more than many sparrows, who says, my, I have caught all your tears in my wineskins. 50 senators is nothing compared to the one God who knows how worth it you are. It doesn't matter what this world says about our worth. God has declared our worth. God has declared that this matters. And this fight is not over. It's amazing, because when God gets mad about something, when God cares about something, it doesn't matter who says it's not important. God doesn't just let things slide. God doesn't minimize. God doesn't say that doesn't matter. God says this will get fixed. When God says justice is on its way, justice is on its way. When God says truth will be revealed, it will be revealed. Jesus told us, I don't know if you remember, but when Jesus was dealing with a lot of injustice, when people didn't think that he mattered, he said, have no fear of them. Everything that is covered up will be revealed. He said, all the stories that they told you didn't matter. They said, be quiet for now, my sister. Jesus said, don't worry. Everything that is covered up will be revealed. Everything that is covered, have no fear of them. It's happening today, sisters and brothers. Christine Blasey Ford, she had to wait 36 years with her story covered up. 36 years, but Jesus said, have no fear. Everything that's covered up will be revealed. It was revealed. She doesn't have to bear that shame, that burden anymore by herself. Jesus was right. It was revealed. The truth came out. And God is not done with this situation yet. Tamar's story, the truth was covered up. People don't preach it. People don't talk about this. But Tamar's story is written in the holiest book in the world. It's right there for everybody to see. Her story is being told because Jesus said the truth will be revealed. Amen. Your story, if this is anywhere part of your story, if any at any time, whether sexual abuse, some other type of, if your worth has ever been violated, and it's a burden that you have borne, a story that someone has said to you, be quiet now, my brother, be quiet now for my sister, just let it pass because it's not going to go anywhere. If this is any part of your story, let me tell you, your truth will be revealed. Jesus said, have no fear of them. Nothing that's covered up will remain covered. Everything. The truth will come. This is good news for everyone. I know a lot of people are tense in this moment, but this is good news for everyone. He told us that the truth will set you free. The one thing I need to say to survivors or those of us with heavy stories, sometimes you can't move to the freedom that God promises unless you go back to the truth. Sometimes you can't move to the freedom that God is trying to give you, the healing that God is trying to give you. I know a lot of people have told you that your story doesn't matter, but your truth matters. That's why he said your truth will set you free. I know it's painful to read Tamar's story. I know it was painful for Christine Blasey Ford to sit there and to say her truth, even though people were ridiculing her. I know it's painful for you to think about the stories that you'd rather just act like didn't matter, but the truth will set you free. Good news for survivors. This is good news for everyone. This is not about politics. This is good news for those on the right, for those on the left. This is good news for everyone that the truth is coming out. This is not about just one man on the Supreme Court. To be honest, we've had scary people on the Supreme Court for a long time. I don't know why everyone is acting so panicked. We've had scary people on the Supreme Court for a long time. We know how to fight this fight because we've been in it for a minute. This is not about politics. This is about the worth of a human person. And if we cannot agree on that, then we do not deserve to be called builders of the kingdom of God. If we cannot agree that every human being is worth what God says they are worth, then we do not deserve to be called followers of Jesus. This is good news for everybody on both sides. And this is good news for men and for women. For men and for, I know a lot of people are tense in this moment. They feel defensive and confused, attacked, like this is about them. No, no, no. It's called Me Too, not us versus them. We got to get the hashtag right. And that's important. People are shutting down. No, 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 no. This is not about women versus men. We know that men are a lot of times survivors too. One in every three women is a survivor of sexual assault. Not a victim, no. We're survivors in God's house. One in every three women, one in every six men. This is not about women versus men. This is Me Too, not us versus them. We got to remember that. Men can be allies in this. Men are allies in this. The perpetrators are 1% of the population. It's not every men are allies in this. You know how you become an ally? You say, okay, God said in the kingdom of God, such a vile thing is not done. And I am standing firm in the kingdom of God. I am standing firm building this kingdom that my God says will come on the earth. And I am saying, echoing my God, such a vile thing is not done. There's no room for it. That's how you become an ally. This is not us versus them. This is good news for everyone, that the truth will come, that the truth will set us free, that our stories matter, that Tamar matters, that Dr. Blasey Ford matters, that Anita Hill matters, that we all matter, that you matter, no matter what happened to you, that you matter. It's good news. Good news that God says, I will open that page to 2 Samuel, and I will show you that your story is holy. Yes, it hurts, but it's holy. Why is it holy? Because the holy God says, I see your story, and I'm going to fix it. I see your story, I'm going to heal it, that you matter to me. Most of all, this story teaches us today that God was 100% clear on Tamar's worth. 100%, no matter who was confused about what she was worth, why she was on the earth, and who she was there to be used by. No, God was 100% clear. Many times when these things happen to us, that's what becomes confused in our spirits, how much we're worth. God is 100% clear about your worth. No matter what they've told you, no matter who has told you, be quiet my sister, my brother. No, God says, no, this matters. You matter. You are worth it to me. I have counted every hair on your head, worth more than many sparrows. I catch every tear in my wineskins. You're worth it. God is 100% convinced of your worth, not confused at all. So in this confused world where stories are covered over, violators are confirmed to the highest seat of the land, where we are told, be quiet for now, my brother, my sister, God is not confused. God is clear, and you are worth so much to the living God who put all of this in motion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet as we declare that we are worth it to our God. And as we sing this song, I want you to let it sink in. And as we sing this song, no matter where you fit in this story, this week I want you to remember that God knows you are worth it. Grab somebody's hand, because we need to convince each other today that we are worth it. Amen?